Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation, recorded live from Bands of America Grand Nationals Marching Band Competition in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Lucas Oil Stadium, with special guest host, James Stevens.
Hello and welcome to Talking Up Music Education. My name is James Stevens. I am the Director of Advocacy and Educational Resources at Music for All. And it is my pleasure to sit in today for Mary Larson. This episode is coming at you here from Indianapolis, Indiana at Lucas Oil Stadium for the Bands of America Grand National Championships presented by Yamaha. 108 high school bands representing 23 states, after months and months of preparation, are here presenting some culminating performances for us all. My guest today, from American Fork High School in Utah, director Nathan Siemens and student drum major Hiram Jackson. From Camdenton High School in Missouri, director Paul Bauer and student drum major Lucas Mosier. And from O'Fallon Township High School in Illinois, director Dr. Melissa Gustafson-Hines and student drum major Hannah Risberg. Welcome, everyone. I think it would be good to start with some quick introductions. So students, would like to go with you guys first. Would you please state your name, your instrument or instruments, if you play more than one, and your year in school? Let's start right over here.
Hi, I'm Hannah Risberg. I'm a senior at O'Fallon Township High School. I am the drum major and I play flute.
My name is Hiram Jackson. I'm the drum major at American Fork High School. I'm a senior this year, and I play the tuba.
My name is Lucas Mosier. I am a drum major at Camdenton High School, and I play bassoon, tenor saxophone, clarinet, and I'm also a senior.
So we have a power trio here of three amazing student leaders, drum majors in that leadership role, and fantastic musicians, no doubt. We like to start often with stories of influence here on Talking Up Music Education. So students, I want you to think back to the beginning. Why did you decide to join band? Or for some of you, maybe even your music career started a little earlier. How did you first get involved with music? Hiram, can we start with you?
Yeah, of course. I remember being in elementary school and the band came around, and when they played, that just seemed like something that I'd want to do. So in fifth grade, I joined playing the trumpet. But it was a lot of work, and I quit halfway through. And so the next year, when it came around again, I realized that it was actually something that I really enjoyed. It was different from the different things I had done before. And so I came back, and it's obviously stuck with me since, and it's been one of the most influential things in my life, for sure.
Now that's and thank you for being real and telling us about the, hey, I don't think this is for me, and then realizing that you've second-guessed yourself. So just curious, because one of the things that is important to the lifeblood of what we do when it comes to recruitment, you mentioned the band. So how does that work? They come and they play at the middle schools?
Yeah, it was at the elementary schools, actually. So the marching band came and played a show, and it sounded amazing. And so, you know, I thought I'd like to join that.
No doubt. That's fantastic. So Lucas, tell us the beginnings.
Okay, so my mom actually participated in her high school marching band, and she was like, hey, I really want you to try this because I think it would be something that you really enjoy. And I also looked at it as a program like, hey, this is something that seems like a lot of fun, and also a lot of my friends were doing it. So then I started on clarinet, actually, and then halfway through my eighth grade year, I switched over to bassoon, and I fell in love, I guess. I just couldn't walk away. I had the most amazing time.
So how did that bassoon conversation happen?
Okay, so at the end of our seventh grade year, one of our other assistant directors who actually majored on bassoon came in and demoed it just a little bit. And I'm like, yes, please. So I talked to Mrs. Fall and Mr. Bauer and Mr. Fenn. And I was like, hey, is this something that I could do next year? And they were like, yes, absolutely. So right away.
When a kid says, I want to play bassoon, you put them on a bassoon.
You don't hesitate. You don't hesitate. Hannah, what about you? The beginning for you.
Well, I kind of had the influence with my brother. I kind of followed his footsteps because he was 3 years older than me. So in fifth grade, I joined because I was like, well, my brother is playing trombone, so I kind of want to try band and see how it goes. And I really loved it. And I remember what really motivated me to join marching band was partly so I could be in like the honors wind ensemble, because I really liked the wind ensemble. I remember watching them my seventh grade year and being like, wow, they're just so amazing. I want to do this so bad. I almost didn't do marching band because I also used to do Taekwondo and I was really committed to that at the time. But then I was like, okay, I'll try marching band because my brother's in it and we'll just see how it goes. Now I quit Taekwondo and I become very committed to marching band, obviously, and I'm very glad with where I am now.
Well, we're glad you're here. Tell us a little bit about that seventh grade wind ensemble experience. So you heard them play. This was a concert.
Yeah, I came to watch my brother because my brother was a sophomore in the wind ensemble at the time. And so I was just kind of curious and I wanted to see what high school wind ensemble sounded.
That's awesome. So to the educators here at the table, I'm going to ask you a similar question. Thinking about early on, which teachers or people in your life that supported you in this musical journey or inspired your musical journey? Can we start with you, Paul?
It's a little cliche, but music's always been in our family. My grandmother played organ at church, and my family's just very musical. My sister then played in the band at Jeff City High School, and she practiced a lot. And so we were just kind of all involved. My other sister was a cello player, and so we really watched that. But I do remember stories just like what the kids said. I remember Jeff City Band came and played, and I remember watching the band when I was in elementary school and watching them come, and it was like, this is what I want to do. And so music's kind of always been part of our group, and there was no doubt I was going to be in band without question. And then it just kind of went on forever. So even when we moved from Jeff City into St. Louis area, it was just something that definitely we were going to do. And I think that's why I became a band director, because I couldn't imagine my life without doing band. That was really kind of all I know how to do. So that's why I stayed with it.
So many of us educators, we talk about how the beautiful thing is we never graduate.
Yeah, band every year. Right. I've got summer band camp every year since I was 12.
That's awesome. We won't ask how many years, but yeah. So Nathan, tell us the beginnings kind of.
Again, I think it was, I had a sister that was in a really terrific marching band. That was kind of a big deal in our community. And Mountain Crest High School with Sherry Manning back in the 80s and early 90s. And my sister was in that band. And so we kind of grew up in the family. My parents were very supportive of whatever we wanted to do. I wanted to play baseball. I wanted to do basketball. And I kind of just, you know, tried band for a year. And boy, it hasn't... haven't quit since. So it really did stick for us too. Of course, my high school band director, Mark McCullough, and just a lot of folks along the way who have, you know, influenced my upbringing. I can think of a lot of college professors and those folks who have kind of guided me and helped me along the way. And so it's been a great journey to culminate here. You know, this is my first experience at Grand Nationals, and to bring a band and to culminate here has been it's been a chance of a lifetime.
It's so powerful, the profession, and just hearing you guys talk like that. Melissa, tell us a little bit about your musical.
My story is, I think, opposite everybody else's in a way. I'm from a really small town, almost rural, in Illinois, kind of up around the northwest side. So not Chicago, still up north, but opposite side of the state. Tiny band. Maybe we were 50 members. I'm not sure. The ironic thing about my band experiences, I'm an oboe player. So right, Rekha? Yeah, with that. So I've never played an instrument in a marching band, ever. So there's that interesting fact about me. I'm actually a baton twirler, was back in the day. And then I just kind of evolved into a drum major position. My director at the time was Ed Checkler. Wonderful person, very encouraging, kind. But we didn't have all of the resources that I'm able to have right now at O'Fallon. Not even close. But love band. He was very caring toward all the students and allowed me to do all sorts of really cool things, conduct the concert band and lead in all different capacities. But we didn't have all the resources, as I said earlier, that we have, Hannah, at our school. But I think in knowing that, I knew that there was other things musically that I could have. But I didn't know what those were, but I knew there was something. And so when the time came for me to kind of choose a path, I was very passionate about music, and even with baton twirling, that was kind of involved with that as well. And so that's the route that I took. So I look back, it's like almost ironic, like the way it ended up. But I'm very thankful for everything that he gave me. We didn't have, like I said, have all of probably what we needed for the program. But I think that's really helped my eyes open of being the educator to provide as many things as I possibly can. And that's what's great about Music for All, is you get to meet people, have these amazing experiences you can you know, bring your students. And I know I didn't have that growing up, but I'm able to provide that now, kind of knowing that. But along the way, as my colleagues here have said, is there's a ton of people through Music for All, college professors along the way, colleagues that you meet that kind of support you along the way, because you don't know it all. But it's having people kind of help you to help the students in your path of achievement and resources and different things that you can give them. But I have a definitely different background. I mean, looking back, I'm still like, oh my gosh,
how did I get here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's, you know what I mean? It's the path that happened. And, you know, I'm very honored to be doing it every day.
No, it's a lot of times it's a path. You know, when you ask young people sometimes what you want to do, they pause and they reflect about, you know, the job that they're going to retire from. And it's kind of like, no. Like, let's talk about tomorrow. You know, like, what do you like doing right now? And let's go there. But what's interesting here, and I said this, folks, offline before we started, is I'm surrounded by some iconic teachers here, some folks that I've known for a number of years. So this is just really fun for me to hear some of the history of where you all came from. So I'm enjoying this. So teachers, another kind of a follow-up here. I'm wondering if you could share with our audience the ingredients that you have found that really is necessary for building and sustaining a well-rounded music program. So the things that are the necessary tools, if you will. Nate, can we start with you?
Sure. You know, I think there needs to be a level of commitment from, of course, the students. You need to have a teacher or a group of team of teachers. You need to have a great community support. You need to have supportive administration. You need to have amazing parents. You need to have the ability to raise capital. Yeah, I mean, these are all sort of, I think for me, ingredients. And when you can find a place where all of those ingredients are there, that, you know, you're certainly ripe for success in music education. And I think that lacking in any of those areas sometimes can be challenging. But certainly as educators, we can make a difference, you know, in all of those things, you know, in building culture and things like that.
I think that's interesting is sometimes we have talked about it being the director of that program, being almost like a CEO of your corporation, and those things that you mentioned, Nate, being integral to making it happen. So, Melissa, thoughts on those ingredients, those things that are necessary?
Well, I concur. I think it's, you know, the CEO, I guess, image, I think is correct because you've got to be kind of jack of all trades. You know, I never realized that in college. I thought we took all these music classes, right, and played in all. I mean, as an oboe player, I played in every ensemble I was told to and did all these things. And then really when we get there, at times, I feel like the music side is the small percentage and then running the business is the larger percentage. Because no matter how well you play, if you don't get a bus request, you're not going. You know what I mean? If you don't pay the admission fee, you're not going. If you don't raise the money, you can't have the instruments. You can't. So it's definitely, there's a huge business side to what we do. But I think the other thing, you have to be, obviously, be able to manage a group, whether you have a small group or a large group, but you have to be inspiring to everybody at all times. And I know we have a little tradition at O'Fallon. I started it years ago, probably when your brother was in, Hannah. And we do it like at midnight or 1 a.m. in the freezing outside at our hotel, usually after prelims. We do a little candlelight ceremony for the seniors, and they get to talk about what band means to them and different things. And it's always interesting to hear what these students have to say when, you know, they're near the end of marching band experience for them, but they all talked about what band meant to them and really like how inspiring the staff is to them and how they push them into what things that they didn't think they would normally do. And a number of them would say, it was almost like kind of repeated pattern. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to do it, but Dr. G called me on the phone. I still have the voicemail. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know what I mean? But I mean, I think sometimes we don't, in all the midst of all the management stuff we have to do, that number one priority is the students and to inspire them to be something beyond what they would, you know, normally be. I mean, that's kind of what the power of music is.
And I love what you're saying and the program management part of it, you know. Great friend of so many of us, Scott Lang, always calls, you know, the recruitment part is butts and seats. And sometimes sort of jokingly, but it's sincere. It's real. It's a reality that it doesn't matter how great of a teacher you are if there's no one there to teach. So, Paul, kind of same thing, like those things that make a well-rounded program.
I think they hit on all of it. I think, you know, you can expand from what Melissa said, that It is about the kids, but then sometimes too, in a community like Camdenton, that's pretty small, we're 3,000 people in our town. And so we have to have massive community support. I mean, obviously you have to have the kids all in line and all of that happening. But if we don't have community to support us, we can't get our band program to come to Grand Nationals if we didn't have support from the community. So we really are a community outreach program as much as anything. And the kids are in the community banging on doors or we're playing garage sales or whatever it is. But we really have to have community involvement. And that community, of course, is kids and administrators and business people and all of that. But we're Camdenton High School Bands. Locally, we're the pride of the lake because we're situated on a tourist lake, Lake the Ozarks. And so we really are the pride of the lake. So the Lake the Ozarks has a lot of pride around our band program. So, I mean, that comes with having great kids and managing all that. But in a school our size, you have to have that big time. That is such an important thing for our program to go, to have those local people that may not have kids in band or maybe did 10, 12, 15 years ago, or maybe they were in my band 22 years ago. But for that community support to happen is really incredible. Facebook's been lit up today. This was our first time performance here ever, and the whole town kind of shut down to watch Flow Marching. And it was pretty cool to see those pictures of elementary kids watching our band this morning at the beginning of the school day. So that all comes with great community support.
The community engagement really blows my mind because each one of you I know does that extremely well. I mean, you guys could stop being band directors and run for mayor or whatever and be elected like that, I think. But it's like we've got 20 some states represented here in all of those communities. I think, I mean, the same thing is happening across the nation in those pockets where these band programs are thriving. Students, I want to get back to you guys. As you have advanced in your school music program over the years, you know, what is it that has kept you going? There are times where we've all thought, I can't do this anymore. What am I doing here? Kind of thing. But what is it that has made it worth the hard work and sacrifice?
I would say mainly it's always been the people in marching band, especially my first year as a sophomore drum major. It was really hard because my job was kind of to be the back drum major and be in charge of handling the med and everything. And I would mess up sometimes and it'd make me feel really bad, but the people around me would keep me motivated to keep going, even though it was really hard. And also this, the friendships mean a lot to me because I wouldn't be in marching band if it wasn't for the people and also all the staff members that encourage me, like especially Dr. G. She always like keeps me going. Like she can tell when I'm stressed out sometimes and she'll tell me that I'm doing great and I should just keep going.
I don't know. There's so many things. I, like I said before, I had quit, but there was something that brought me back. One of the biggest things is the staff and the different educators that we have. My band director right now, Mr. Siemens, is one of the reasons that I'm still here. A lot of my band directors when I was in elementary school as well and junior high, they always just pushed me and they saw something in me that I didn't necessarily see in myself all the time. And knowing that they had a vision for me that I didn't necessarily have for myself yet was pretty powerful. And it made me want to keep going. And it's something that I don't know if I would have found somewhere else, but being in music programs has really, I don't know, it's hard to explain in words, but it's just helped me. I felt a lot more accepted and like I fit in and reached kind of my potential as a high schooler. So,
you know, it's really interesting, and I'm going to go a little off script here when I say it this way, but one of the miraculous things about our profession, I think, is that educators, we are doing exactly what you're talking about there, and where I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, that some of the classroom teachers that aren't looking at a large ensemble, we always talk about what makes music kids the best of the best and the top of the heap, is these teachers, they're not complaining about the number of kids. They want more kids. And when you're having a bad day, they're going to push you to be the best you can at all times. When some teachers, I'm sorry, I'm being brutally honest right now, you know, clock in and clock out, start a day, end a day. You have seen your director's car there on the weekends or first thing in the morning or at bizarre hours of the night. And so I'm with you, sir.
He doesn't actually know this yet, but I think my second day of band camp freshman year, I was done. Like, I was like, no, I can't do this again. Like, I was hot, sweaty, tired, sunburnt, and just ready to lay down. And then my mom was like, give it one more day. So I gave it another day. And then from that moment on, I was my favorite thing ever. And it was because of all the people, the section leaders. Also, I'm crazy, apparently. I like marching drill. like just drill blocks, drill downs, all that. I love it, which is odd that I became a drum major considering that. But that's one of my favorite things to do. And that really helped me stay in my freshman year. And from there, I was hooked on everything. And then like in the off season, playing bassoon, it's just, it's really an interesting instrument. And I love playing it. And I just love everything about band.
So Lucas, now that you're here at Grand Nationals, have you gone back to mom and given her the big hug and say thank you for pushing me, giving me that one more day?
So many times over. Yeah. Yes.
So it's all those influential adults in our life, our parents, our directors, our teachers. So here we are. We're at Bands of America Grand Nationals. And for two of the groups here, this is your first experience here as a director bringing your program. Melissa, you've been with us before. I'd love to hear from students, teachers alike. Just tell us a little bit about this year's program, your show, the concept. Share with us what you've done, what we've seen here in prelims already.
Well, I think what we are known for is we're called Tarp Town. So we're living and breathing that. I've done a number of clinics out even from last year, and I'll show up and they're like, are you the tarp lady? I'm like, I'm the tarp lady.
You're the tarp lady.
I am, yeah.
We've joked about how the fact that next year you're going to cover even the seats.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. And please, it's not to my designers, that for sure. But we did that last year, and obviously we're kind of building on it this year with some different three-dimensional props that go on it. In doing that, we had a lot of talks with the students about our different approach, that a lot of times we're not marching sets, we're not doing the box drill technique, different things like that, that how different we're going to be looking. We're having this more modern look. So it was a huge risk. We talked about different things about taking risks in life and what that means, and nothing ventured, nothing gained, what it is to be different and unique and be accepting of that. So we were able to kind of do some character study along with what we were trying to portray in everything from last year's show, and then obviously building upon this year's show. But one thing that I really like about our show, besides its uniqueness, is, you know, and all the bright colors, we hope that just makes everybody really happy. There's all different emotions that we portray throughout the whole thing. The second section is really silly and funny, which most time in band, we're like, band serious, you know, all the time, you know, we have that look. But we actually want the kids to be smiling and goofy faces the whole time. And so we hope when people see it, they can kind of put their life aside for a little bit and just enjoy our show as it's happening visually and musically as well. So
I'm enjoying the show.
It's really cool to stand on the podium, get to like have all that sound coming at me, and like I can feed off the energy from my band.
You have the best seat in the house. Well, you're not sitting, but...
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah.
So let's go to American Fork, and I'm going to go straight to Hiram on this one. The show was fantastic last night, and the crowd response was insane. So tell us a little bit about your production this year.
Our show this year is called Another Viewpoint. That's really what it is we're trying to look at things at another viewpoint. This year, we did a lot of things differently than we have in the past. We got new uniforms, and it's similar to the last band. It's more modern. I've talked to a lot of my senior friends who have said that this is by far the hardest year that they've marched. There's a lot of things that we've done differently, but it's really expanded our view of marching band. I've really liked it. Seeing it at another viewpoint is as the show is themed. And so we're doing a lot of things differently, but it's been really, really fun.
How often is the concept of a show kind of moving the needle of education? Like when you've got a show that is with that title, does it make you go, you know, the only thing constant is change, and we've got to look at things, you know, as the teacher and the educator in the room with your students, Nate, is that kind of how you looked at it?
There's a lot of things that kind of crossed my mind when we were crafting the show, and one of which was change. And the students I currently have are not a stranger to change. I've only been there 3 years. This is my Hiram's class. The senior class is the last class that had legendary John Miller as their band director. And so they've gone through some of that change. But with the idea of another viewpoint, just being open-minded, that's one of our school's values. And so we tried to tie in some of our curricular school values to our show. And I'm also a believer that, you know, what we do should bring joy to the audience. And I don't think it needs a giant explanation or a cerebral dissertation to figure out what the show's about. We played with some of the melodies. We played with simple gifts. We change it into minor and we do different things with it. And so it's been fun to kind of take some well-known pieces of music and turn them on their heads a little bit. And it's been a really fun show. So the kids are really enjoying it with the new uniform. That's a new look for us in a very... our community is very steeped in tradition, which we love. And so we're just trying to expand ourselves and expand our minds and expand our understanding of what not only the activity's about, but what about we're about in our lives, being open to other people's points of view.
I love using the concept of the show, the theme, if you will, as a teaching tool. So in Camdenton now, not only do we know that you guys are traveling all over, you just were in San Antonio, Texas last week, and now you're here in Indianapolis. Tell us about your show.
Well, these guys are so good, what they're talking about. It's inspiring. Our show's called Red.
Red Latin. Hot. It's red, not just red.
Last year, our show was called Pink.
Tickle
so,
Pink.
So this year, our show is all built around themes that have red. So it's not nearly as in-depth. But the music isn't really in depth, and what we're doing is really in depth. But as far as the show theme, it's red. And there's a lot of red on the field, too. It's been really fun. I think a couple years ago, we just decided, it kind of like what in some ways you guys have said, too, is that we're always so serious about everything we do, and we feel like we have to be so serious all the time, and we have to focus, and we have to, you know. We just decided we want to do all that stuff, but we want to remember why we all join band, and it was because we were having a blast and we were having fun. And so sometimes we have to continue to be serious about what we're doing, but we don't have to take everything so seriously. So, you know, we have some serious music in our show, and we're doing some Copeland, and that's really great, but we're doing Lady in Red from the 80s, you know, kind of rock and roll tune, and we're just having a great time with that. So in our school, that's what we need to have for our kids to be successful. We need to just have really a great, fun time. And so we thought, what the heck, we're going to come to Grand Nationals, which is going to be a super pressure, scary place to go. So if we're already going to be really scared, let's go to Texas too. And so I would challenge these guys here in the room that they should do it too, because it wasn't nearly as scary as what everybody thought it was going to be. We're the only non-Texas band there, which the people from Texas were amazing. They were just so friendly. And when we came on the field, we felt like rock stars because everybody stood up and applauded. And everywhere we went, whether it was on the Riverwalk or in the hotel, everybody was so just gracious and thankful. And, you know, we had a great run down there and we feel really good about where we placed. And Lucas, it just felt like we were rock stars there, weren't we?
Yeah, everybody was so just like, awesome. You're the out-of-state band. It's so great that you traveled all this way to join us. We're so happy you're here. Everyone was so nice about it. I remember when we were lining up drum majors to go on the field, the lady who was putting us in order was like, okay, you guys, oh, you're the Missouri band. And it was just really nice to be welcomed like that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, for those that don't know, that regional in Texas, that super regional was the largest we've ever had, 80 plus bands, all from the great country of Texas. And one Missouri band, which was you guys, and they, with open arms, were so, you know. And so that's what I want, you know, Paul, you mentioned Grand National, scary, San Antonio, scary. There's so much variety here. And I want to just talk a little bit about, from the student's perspective, what is it like to come here to Bands of America Grand Nationals, or to any Bands of America event, because you've all have participated in at least one other this season. What is it like to kind of meet your peers and your colleagues at one of these types of events?
If I could describe it in one word, it's very exciting, because it's our very last big competition, Grand Nass, and it's the last time we're ever going to show people like our show and like how far we've come since the beginning of the season. And also, I think it's just really special because it's our last couple of times to perform in front of people, especially my senior year. This is my senior year of doing high school marching band, and I couldn't ask for the show to be any greater. Like, this is exactly how I wanted it to be, and it's almost a dream come true. And it's kind of heartbreaking to see it go, but I'm glad that we get to play it one more time at Grand Nationals and the Lucas Oil Stadium.
I'm in the same place as Hannah. It's my senior year, and after this week, my life in marching band is over unless I do it later. But a lot of my peers had gone to Grand Nats their freshman, sophomore year. And so I had really looked up to them and been jealous of what they got to do. And the fact that I'm here now is, it's hard to put into words, but it's walking onto that field last night was really fantastic. And seeing all the people there watching us and even hearing about our parents and family members and friends back in Utah watching our show live from the high school, it's an incredible experience. And it's a really great thing to do the very end of senior year. I've loved it.
Yeah. Whenever you go to a BOA show or anything, Bands of America, like there's this air of just like, we all know what we're here to do and just try to put on an amazing show and learn from it and get better. And Grand Nationals is no different. Like you're here to show off what you've done for the last, what, 6 months, almost four, I guess. And it's really just an amazing opportunity to be able to show what you've done. And I couldn't ask for a better way to end my senior year marching band because it's Grand Nationals.
That's fantastic. I love hearing these, especially the student perspective is really special for me. At Music for All, the folks here know our mission is to create, provide, and expand positively life-changing experiences through Music for All. We believe that music and arts education is core to a student's well-rounded education and must be available to every student. So as an advocate for music and arts education, Music for All, we call it advocacy in action because we believe it's not just talking about statistics and we know where to find those statistics that, you know, music makes kids smarter and all that kind of stuff. But we're really looking for ways to put things into action and feel that it is our duty to share practical examples and best practices. So students, here's a thought. Someday you're going to be older. You're going to move into a community where a school district is possibly working to build or expand their music program. How will you be an advocate to basically sort of shine a light on music education as a vital part and its value in the total curriculum?
Well, I'm planning on majoring in music education, so I have a plan to be a music director. So my plan is kind of to like find a community that I could work for and then just try to expand it and make it really outstanding. Like looking back from my experience with my high school band director and my junior high band directors, they're great role models. I get to see how they work with the kids. Like right now I'm helping with the fifth grade band beginners before school a couple days per week. And I get to see some of my junior high band directors working with the kids, and it really inspires me and makes me want to do what they do and try to inspire kids and inspire the parents to keep them in band.
So Hiram, thoughts on the future? You're in a school district where, you know, maybe they're trying to expand, maybe they're struggling. What can you do?
I honestly couldn't imagine my life without music. I was actually talking to one of my friends last night. After we had done our performance and everything, she had said, like, I can't imagine somebody's life without this. I can't imagine there's people out here that don't get to feel this. And I honestly the same way. And I hope to be able to share that with others. That's one of the reasons I love music so much. It's a way to help invoke a feeling in other people that you can't do otherwise. And so I don't know. I think what I would do is just stay active in music and hope to get other people to see how incredible it really is. It definitely has been life-changing for me, and I want that for everybody else.
Lucas, and we've talked about community earlier, so how do we make sure that those communities that don't have it, you know, like Hiram was saying, and what can we do? Thoughts there?
As he was saying, it's such an amazing thing for everybody, and the feelings it gives you and just the way it impacts each individual person, it doesn't really come from anything else. So like I was in a future community and like they didn't have much of a band program. I would try to be there as much as I could to try to build the program because it's such an important part of just honestly anybody's high school career. It has the potential to be a pinnacle, I guess you could say. It's truly an amazing thing. And it's something that I understand is really important for people to be able to be involved in. So I would work my hardest to make sure that that was an option for everybody and do whatever I could to help build up that kind of program.
So teachers, educators, advocacy in action, what are we doing or what can we be doing?
We had and Hannah was actually part of this, but I don't know if I've even told you this, about 4 or 5 years ago, our main feeder, the program was canceled along with sports, music, the whole thing. And it was a tax referendum that I don't think people really thought was going to happen. So people didn't go out and vote. It was almost like a 2-to-1. And so that upcoming year, we weren't going to have any music in the schools or any additional activities. So that was a little daunting since the O'Fallon community is strong in tradition, especially with band back in the day with a couple of directors before me of everything that he did. So my staff and former student teachers took it upon ourselves to run a music program. And so with the support of O'Fallon Township High School administration, we went to a school board meeting and we presented a plan. It was tied in through the Parks and Rec organization and we ran it for a year. I look back, I'm like, I can't believe we kind of did that, but we did. Yeah. And it wasn't obviously as great as we could have made it. It was a pay to play with the fees were pretty small, but we ran a beginning band program. We ran a full junior high program and as many things as we could for those students for a year. And then we were lucky that it did come back in a year and everything came back.
So your community, no, is not an acceptable answer.
Well, it's not for me.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's not for me. I mean, and I think for, you know, my colleagues here, it would be the same. I mean, that's all we've been talking about is like the power of music and what it does for students, what it does for people. You can't go a day without hearing music. Everybody should have some little education and an education on appreciation of what it is. Everybody should, but not everybody does, you know, as you stated, has that opportunity. And in this case, there was no way I was going to let that happen. And so we stepped in and the community was supportive. And but you were in that.
I was.
Yeah.
7th grade. It was basically like band, like just regular band. It was just before school and there wasn't as many kids in it. But I'm very grateful that that happened.
So if the high school association and the community did not come together, you might not even be sitting here with us today.
That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's an example of a community that would not take no for an answer.
It's a little crazy looking back. Yeah. And some of that I'm able to see right now, like her senior class is really, really small. The freshman class is a little bit small. And some of that is because of just fluctuation of just that one year that happened.
And I think this relates to what we were saying over here earlier about it's that community. It's the support. I do not believe that there is anyone out there who doesn't think that music is good for students. But there are people who look at it sometimes and have a difficult time to go, well, I've got to cut something. Or, you know, it's not that I don't like music, but it becomes that decision-making process. You know, it is our job, is it not, to involve the community, to engage the community? And just curious what ways, you know, you all are doing to just sort of speak the gospel of music education.
I'm going to jump backwards just a hair, so sorry. But one of the things that I hear you guys talk about, you know, wanting to be involved in the programs and those things, and I think you hit it with the community people, you need to vote and make sure you vote for bond issues and vote to not allow that to happen at O'Fallon. Or even if you're not a music major, like I know Lucas loves everything we're doing. I know he's not going to be a music major, but he's going to be a community leader wherever he is. He needs to run for school board. He needs to do those kind of things. You need to, if you run a successful business, get your name of your business slapped on the side of the band truck and give money to the band program. I mean, those things can be, we'd love to have you come back and work my bassoon section. But seriously, if you can get out there and run for school board and be vocal in the responsibilities that it is, I think that is wonderful if you guys can come back and do things for us. But man, the vote for schools I just think you'd be great school board members someday. So that's what I'd like to see. And so then to go back to your question, then we need to make sure that we educate that community members about everything that we're doing. So I think all of our band programs are very visual everywhere we go and people see us and we're all high profile groups. And we have to remember that high profile can be a wonderful thing to keep school music programs going.
It's a marketing tool for the community, for the district. I mean, you guys are poster children.
Well, and Camden's small. We're a little bitty school. And to hear people say, walking through the concourse or whatever, from whether it be Utah or be somewhere else and say, oh, Camdenton, Missouri, I think.
You've put it on the map.
Right. Absolutely.
The band has put, on the map.
Yeah, I you guys said it all so well, but I will say just from my experience at American Fork High School, we're in a bedroom community, small community as well. But we play probably, our band supports between don't know, 40 and 60 events, community events, you know, between your games. And I think we're all probably on the same page, but parades in the summer. I mean, we're very visible in our community. And I think that our community has been set up over the last 30, 40 years that it wouldn't be acceptable in that community to cut the program or whatever. But I will say that we have self-funded our elementary program for the last 8 years, and we've just barely got another situation where we can bring in a teacher to make the seventh grade year a little bit more specialized, so we don't have to burn out our teachers, which is awesome. Another thing that's happened in our community, which is amazing, I think, is just on Tuesday, we elected two band booster presidents of two different bands in our district to the school board. So two of the six school board members are band booster presidents in the community. And so it's important and people value it, but that takes time and it takes effort and it takes advocacy on behalf of parents. It takes advocacy on behalf of the teachers who are sometimes pulling their hair out, trying to get to that next level of wherever they are and trying to, you know, make it a valuable experience for their students.
And you mentioned the sort of the sheer volume of performances you do in the community. And so it makes me think, you know, I remember some younger teachers who sometimes like, you know, we're too busy or we don't have time to go perform at this. You guys get so many calls and requests to perform. I mean, you got to find a way to say yes, right? I mean, is that...
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that was actually when I took this position. I was overwhelmed with those calls and I called John Miller, who was the previous band director, you know, Bands of America, Hall of Famer, amazing person. I said, John, you know, it was the class of 1948 class reunion. And they called and they said, can you play at our class reunion? And there's like 12 of them left, you know? And I said, John, he's like, oh yeah, they've been calling almost every year for the last 12 years. And I said, so you've been doing this? He said, oh yeah, we got to make a way to do it. Okay, I'm there, you know? So I called her back and we just played at the class of 1948 reunion about 2 months ago. And there was about 10 of them left.
Well, and I think there's got to be a direct correlation to the people that figure out a way to say yes and the community support.
Yes. Yeah, there is. Absolutely. I think there is. And when we find a way to say yes and we support them and we're lucky in our community where we have amazing support from our local businesses as well. And it's a great relationship that we have with a lot of those folks. We just had a car dealership buy our drums a couple of years ago, just write a check. Otherwise, we couldn't do what we do with the tax rates that we have where we are. We have some challenges that way, but we also, the community makes up for a lot of those things and really blesses our lives.
So students, the things that you're gaining from being in band, the rehearsal etiquette, you know, the work ethic, all those kinds of things, you know, regardless of whether you teach music or perform music going forward, what kind of experiences that are in the music classroom are so important going forward?
Well, it really teaches you so much in terms of like analyzing a piece of music to figure out how to play it. It helps develop your brain functions really to like understand what you're doing. And it improves your skill in other locations of life. Numerous studies show that like participation in music programs increases your academic level because of the type of learning that you're doing while playing music is directly correlated to the type of learning while you're doing math. I mean, it's analyzing patterns at its most basic level, and that is just more practice, and practice makes perfect. And it's a really, really fun practice that we all obviously love to do or we wouldn't be here.
Lucas, you're a good guy. You're a smart guy.
Thank you.
Hiram, same thing. The things you've gained in the music classroom.
I've gained a lot. One thing that my dad has really ingrained into me since I was little was hard work. He grew up on a farm and he's motivated and committed, and he put that into me as well. And that's something that I found that has really helped me, and I've grown through music. And so I think that's one of the biggest things. Band and music isn't necessarily physically challenging all the time, but it's definitely mentally challenging, and it does take a lot of work. And if you don't have the persistence and the commitment as you would in a sport, say, you wouldn't get places. You wouldn't be able to advance as much as you would as if you do put in the time and effort. And so I think that's one of the biggest things that I've gotten from performing and practicing music is work ethic. Learning how to practice and how to do all these things, even when you don't want to. And I know that'll definitely help me going forward in life. So
Hiram, what you're saying, work is work, is exactly what you figured out, but being good is fun.
It really is. Right? We've put in a lot of work this year, more than ever, I think, during this marching band season to prepare for this trip, and it's definitely shown.
Congratulations, sir. Hannah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with what the students have all said. One thing that I think is amazing about marching band, it's that it kind of teaches you everything, like everything that you need for life. Like even for the students, because obviously not every student in marching band is going to do music ed. Like I talked to Dr. G about it, like they're not all going to go into music, but they can learn about life things like responsibility and hard work and just like all the things you need to be a great person. I think all the people who have been a part of our music program has grown to be better people because of the program. So I think that's something really special. And then something that marching band really gave me was leadership skills, because I came in freshman year like a super shy person, and I couldn't imagine leading. Well, I could imagine leading it, but I wasn't sure how it was going to work out. But it kind of just worked out, obviously, because I'm drum major now, and I'm really grateful for the leadership experience it's given me, and also just all the music practicing. I've learned a lot of hard work with practicing and all of that.
Wow. I am sitting here. I'm in awe. The art that you've created and have shared with so many people here throughout the course of the season and this weekend is to be commended. I mean, it is literally theater on a football field. And the amount of hours that have gone into not just the preparation and planning and show design, but of rehearsal and blood, sweat, and certainly tears, hopefully I feel has paid off. I want to thank you to my guests from American Fork, Utah, from Camdenton, Missouri, from O'Fallon Township, Illinois, and a big thank you to my wonderful, wonderful friends and colleagues at the NAM Foundation. It has been my sincere pleasure to sit in for the wonderful Mary Larson. This is James Stevens of Music for All signing off from Indianapolis, Indiana, and the Bands of America Grand National Championships.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Nam. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.